This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. Alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Dan Green? Can you feel it?
Oh, it's working, as always.
All right. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Great to be with you, Dan. It's been too long.
Oh, it's been far too long.
Yeah. Got to catch up on everything that's going on in your neck of the world, in Scotland.
Scotland. It has been a while, actually. I can't remember the last time we talked, Ross. I think it was must have been like a couple of months ago or something like that.
Yeah, the Fiend supercomputer, the Fiend Matron 9000 has paired us up again. So happy for that.
It's finally awesome.
So, I was thinking about you a lot. This summer, I took a trip to Nova Scotia, and you know, which surprisingly enough, I guess means like New Scotland. Evidently, a bunch of Scots at some point said, "Hey, let's try that new continent," and they said, "You know, like hell yeah, let's go over there." And there is there's thriving Scottish culture over here. I mean, they've got a lot of fiddle playing. Not so much bagpipes. They love their fiddle playing. They've got Gaelic highway signs. Now, that surprised me. I wasn't ready for that. How's your Gaelic?
Non-existent, if I'm being perfectly honest. We don't even have that many signs in Gaelic here. There's some of them, but not a lot of them. Kind of surprised to hear that. That seems sort of strange.
It seems like it's impossible to learn, so I'm not really going to be like trying to master Gaelic anytime soon. I don't know if there's like a Rosetta Stone Gaelic, but I'm not doing it.
it doesn't make any sense. It's just a confusing language. I don't know. I had a brother that was trying to learn Irish Gaelic because, well, technically, if we're going to be thorough about this, technically we'd call it Gaelic in Scotland and Gaelic in Ireland.
Oh,
and it's slightly different. My dad actually grew up speaking Gaelic. His like parents were fluent Gaelic speakers and they taught him how to speak it, but I had a brother that was trying to learn it. He was like going to classes and stuff like that, and he ended up giving up because it's so confusing, man. It's really confusing.
Yeah. I mean, there's like weird vowel and consonant combinations that makes the English language look sane. Are you good with languages?
Well, in school I did like French and Spanish. They were my two kind of things, but I've forgotten a lot of it now, to be honest, because I didn't really put it into much practice. it's not as bad as Welsh, though. Have you ever seen Welsh? Welsh looks like
ridiculous.
English with the vowels taken out.
It's ridiculous. and they just like cram like whole sentences together into one word, right? Like... Yeah. I mean,
I think in Wales they take that more seriously than we take like Gaelic here.
Good. Well, I went to a government school, you know, here in the States. So like, you know, what they, you know, the reputation that like dumb Americans have, like we're lucky if we can speak English. Okay. I'll just put it to you that way. If we can read and write in any language, it's a miracle. But I took German class, but I was like one of those illiterates that slipped through the system. Like the teacher was really nice, but we didn't learn anything. You know, maybe I think I learned barely enough to like order like zwei beers. If I go to the bar in Germany, I can like acquire beer.
I was going to say that's like here, because like you get a lot of people that take trips to like Spain and stuff like that, and a lot of people know how to order like at the bar in Spanish, but that's pretty much about it.
Well, you start with the most important things and then you work your way from there. I try to learn like thank you is one of the first words I like to learn in a language. you know, just to be courteous, so you have something to say after they hand you a couple beers.
Let's see, if you're going to learn how to order beers, you should also learn how to apologize in that language, because inevitably you're going to have to at some point. That's so true. Now,
well, is that just because I'm an American, or is it because I'm, you know, perhaps going to be having a few?
No, I meant for everybody, not just yourself. I meant, like, everyone should learn that, because, you know, it generally happens that if you're going to be ordering beer, you know, you're going to need to apologize for something at some
point.
Maybe right. That's just me. Maybe that just reflects on my behavior. I'm not sure.
Well, even the most civilized of us will, you know, we might bump into somebody or slosh the beer or, you know, or just... Or, yeah, start a brawl, or, you know, these things happen.
It's funny, like, you go to, I've been to, like, places like Spain and stuff, and there's so many, like, British pubs and Irish pubs and stuff like that. And I always thought it seemed a bit odd, you know, like, let's go to Spain to drink in a British pub. I mean, I suppose you could make the argument that it's like being here, except... a lot better weather.
Well, yeah, I guess I could see that. It's like, yeah, just if you really love, you know, like an English pub, but you hate English weather, you know, I don't know.
I mean, but the thing is, a lot of these Irish theme pubs that you go to, I mean, I don't know about your experience, but a lot of the ones that I've been to, they're like, they've got all this rubbish on the walls, and it's like you're having a drink in a bin. Some of the times, I don't know if it's the same where you are, but like, I just don't understand, like, why that's representative of Irish culture, all this crap on the walls.
You know, somehow I think that's like they must learn that in like corporate bar training school or something, because like there's a tradition of just like, let's put a bunch of junk on the walls. And you know, what does Irish junk look like? I don't know. Like, do they even try to make it look Irish themed or in an Irish, you know, I don't know.
I think the ones that have got like plows and old farming equipment on the walls, and you think, is this really the best you can do? Is this really representative of an entire culture?
That's the pinnacle of Irish achievement. Yeah, with some old farming equipment. That's terrible. But I mean, I guess these, you know, any kind of theme restaurant is just, you know, takes a whole culture and boils it down to some stereotypes. I mean, you go to a Mexican restaurant and it's, you know, it's sombreros and donkeys and ponchos and that's about it. So
it's racist.
It's cultural appropriation.
Cultural appropriation. I like that.
Yeah. Have you ever heard, do they use that term in Scotland?
No, I'm not too, it sounds kind of familiar, but I couldn't tell you what it means.
Well, it's a way for people to be offended about something new. Okay. So they start running out. They're like, oh, we gotta get offended about something, you know? So, my daughter goes to a Quaker school, and she has last year she had a very like liberal young language teacher, and she got him doing this project. It was supposed to be a persuasive writing project. So the first thing they do is they study. Here's a letter that somebody wrote to Urban Outfitters, which is like a clothing chain over here.
Oh yeah, we've got it here.
Okay, and they said, oh, you know, you're selling a Navajo design on a T-shirt, and you guys aren't Navajo. That's cultural appropriation. That's outrageous. How dare you sell Navajo designs on a T-shirt? And you're like, we didn't even test your DNA to find out if you should be allowed to do that. So they read that, like, okay, here's your example, kids. Now you all write a letter to somebody that you want to be outraged about, you know, cultural appropriation. So, you know, my daughter tells me this, and she, you know, she sees the BS immediately. She's like, oh God, you know. And I'm like, so we talked about it. It's like, hey, maybe we can have some fun with it. So we found a company that does Philly cheesesteaks, and they have a franchise. It's called Philly cheesesteak franchise or whatever. Mm. And it's they're in California. It's not even in Philly. And they use things like the Liberty Bell and cheesesteaks. And it's like, oh, how dare they appropriate our culture.
It's true, though. That's the logical conclusion of that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I just find that funny. Like, why would you be offended by that? Like, that whole thing about, like, what, because it's a Navajo design, you know, and what? I mean, like, does that mean, I mean, that's the thing. I've got, like, Buddha statues around my house, you know. I'm not from India. Does that mean that for some reason...
Right, well, you know, you're creating an opportunity for someone to be offended for no legitimate reason, right? It's just hilarious. So Dorothy wrote this great satirical letter. I mean, just nailed it, you know, mirroring this one that she had been given as an example. And she, you know, she's kind of, you know, a little bit, just like, goes to her teacher and said, okay, if I make this a satire? And she's like, well, yeah, I guess. She did get a perfect score on the writing assignment. But then the teacher, like, okay, it's time to mail the letters. They're like, they're actually mailing these letters. And this one kid is like, well, my letter, you know, it's like, I'm writing a letter to Toys R Us because they sell a toy teepee. He's like, I don't want to do this. Do I have to? And then he's just like, yes, you do. Anyway, Dorothy just refused to mail it. She's like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not mailing it. No. Like, it's one thing to have a writing assignment. It's another thing to try to harass somebody as part of it. Like, nope.
When is this stuff going to end? You know, it's just, it seems to get worse and worse. And like the fact that they're like teaching kids in schools to be outraged about something that they really have no reason to be outraged about. I mean, and I bet you they don't talk about the things they probably should be angry about.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
We're back. Bad Dean, James Bab on the Freedom Fiends. We're talking about people being offended about things that they really shouldn't be offended about. I mean, I've noticed this quite recently. Well, I would say recently, it's probably going on a long time, but I noticed getting like, I remember it particularly coming all the time. It was before the Scottish independence referendum. There was a lot of stuff coming through, and there was all these like pictures of, you know, some guy standing in front of a bunch of derelict houses, and it's like, this is Steve. Steve is a social justice warrior. They never, you know, are like, you know, Deborah is very concerned about social justice without actually mentioning what they mean by social justice. It's just this sort of vague, loose term that they can.
But it works. See, it's something that everybody can get behind, right? And you don't have to define it. And it, the meaning can shift as needed. So in case, like, whatever the cause is now, it could be, you know, racism, sexism, ableism, classism, you know, there's always some particular thing, but that's shifting. Like, what happens if these problems are solved? these guys need to be in a continual state of offense, because as soon as they're not offended, what are these people good for? You know, they've got no skills besides whining.
That's the thing. I mean, would they ever get to a point where they're happy? You know, I doubt it. There'd always be something else.
Oh, there has to be. Well, did you hear this story from Brown University? And this cracked me up. And I heard about it from listening to a speech from Tom DiLorenzo. And I Googled it, and I found out this is – I really just couldn't believe it. But Brown University, they were they had Wendy McElroy as a invited guest. And now she's this, like, a wonderful libertarian writer who you know, she's sort of, you know, she just doesn't put up with any of that social justice BS. And, you know, she's, you know, really solid, really principled woman, great writer. And so anyway, pretty controversial. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this person declared, I'm quoting, "Bringing in a speaker like that could serve to invalidate people's experiences." Okay. It could be damaging. Okay, so anyway, so like, well, what do we do? How do we handle this controversial speaker? Okay, that might be, you know, challenging people's, invalidating people's experiences by talking, whatever that means. How do you invalidate an experience? I have no idea. So they create up these a safe space. Okay, and it's intended. I'm reading this out of the New York Times right now. Intended to give people who might find comments troubling or triggering a place to recuperate. The room was equipped with cookies, coloring books, bubbles, Play-Doh, calming music, pillows, blankets, and a video of frolicking puppies. You can't make this up. Like, seriously, like, somebody's like, oh, I'm finally going off to college, gonna, you know, find my place in the world, I'm gonna, you know, break free of my parents, I'm gonna get out there. Whoa, I need something with coloring books. Whoa, I'm not ready. Where are the cookies?
It's just like, I need a room that's clearly built for children to protect me from these opinions that I might not agree with.
I mean,
it's like a weird version of, I don't know, like sometimes if you have certain clubs where you have raves and stuff, they have like a chill out room where if you've done way too many drugs, you can sort of calm down. It seems like that for opinions that that bother you.
Oh, God bless these people. I mean, it's just, you know, and what happens when they come out of college? Like, and this is the environment. Like, are they going to need, are they going to, like, try to go work for a company that has a safe space, you know, like, as well? Like,
I mean, where does that end? It just, what you described sounds like a room for children. You know,
it
these
is.
People. These are meant to be like people who are at university. You'd think they would be beyond this by now.
Like, Brown's expensive too. Like, it's not cheap. I don't think it's cheap, but anyway, you know,
that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, like, how much are you going to? I mean, I would love to know whose idea this was in the first place. But like, I mean, you can't keep treating people like children. It's no wonder like people put up with any kind of, like, you know, people will put up with governments treating people like kids. I mean, if that's the environment they're going to be learning in, doesn't surprise me.
That's right. Where's my parent? Help me.
I need a responsible adult.
Help me.
I'm going to go to my safe zone.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. If you find the state troubling or triggering, this is your place to recuperate. I'm Jim Babb, and I'm here with Dan Green. I think by now any delicate liberals out there have fled to their safe space. What about you, Dan?
Yes, I'm in my libertarian safe space.
Here's one more funny line from that article. There's a story about some girl says she tried to go to the lecture hall. It was packed. She gave it a try. But after a while, she had to return to the safe space. Quote, I was feeling bombarded by a lot of viewpoints that really go against my dearly and closely held beliefs.
Oh, man.
Quick, get me a coloring book. Oh, my God. I just heard something that goes against my dearly and closely held belief. I need a cookie. Stat!
How are people ever supposed to learn if any time anything offends them, they have to run away to somewhere with coloring books and, you know, videos of puppies? I mean, it's you can't live your life, you know, ignoring things that offend you. I mean, like, wrap yourself in cotton wool from reality. It's madness.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny to see this stuff comes around a little bit every, you know, around Halloween season, where you've seen these stuff like that say, we're a culture, not a costume. Right. And there's like, I guess, traditional costumes that are now considered racist for whatever reason. And hey, maybe some of them are, you know, or that there could certainly be in poor taste. I'm not going to say that, you know, every costume, you know, is awesome. You know, maybe there should be some considerations, but they take it to such an extreme, like who they can be offended about. Now, one of my ancestors, Philip Babb, may have been a pirate on the high seas back in the day. Okay, so I make it a point whenever I see kids in pirate costumes to just let them know that we're a culture, not a costume, and they don't get any candy. No, I'm sorry.
I feel like saying that to people I see at weddings here who are wearing kilts. You know, I feel like saying to them, listen, we're not a costume. What are you doing in that?
You know, a lot of kilts at Pork Fest. Really? Yeah. I'm not sure why, or I guess it's, you know, everybody wants to be the true Scotsman, right? But you said you've never worn a kilt in your life, right?
No, never. Well, because, I mean, my family are Irish, so, like, we don't have a family tartan for a start. And, you know, like, I remember when we were younger and stuff, you know, my parents never put us in kilts for special days or anything like that. It was never a thing that came up, and I don't feel any need to wear one, to be honest. I mean, I actually see some guys at weddings here that wear kilts that don't even have, like, tartan on them. They're just, like, black, and they think it looks really cool, but looks a lot like a skirt.
It's the formal all-black kilt, yeah, just is a skirt, right?
So. Although, I mean, see, when you think about it, it kind of looks like, if you want to put it this way, it's sort of like if you looked at it, if you came from another planet, you would look at trousers and think, you know, in terms of the equipment, trousers look more like they would suit women and skirts look more like they would suit men. Just in terms of equipment, it just looks like it would be more comfortable. But I'm just kind of used to trousers. I mean, it does sort of look that way.
Yeah. Well, at Porkfest, people have the tactical kilt. It's not just a regular kilt. It's a tactical kilt that presumably gives you some type of tactical advantage in a combat situation. You know, last thing you want, let's face it, though, like if you're in a combat situation, last thing you want is chafing, right? So there may be something to the tactical kilt. I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand.
What makes it a tactical kilt? Has it got like a utility belt on it or something instead of a spotting?
I guess. I don't know.
The tactical kilt. I'm going to have to look this up. That's a new one for me.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised there's not an ad for them on GCN. Like, hey, you know, kilt makers. There's an opportunity. Come advertise on Freedom Fiends. Could sell a lot of those.
You probably could. I don't know. I've never felt the urge to wear one. I mean, where I seriously is, you know, whenever Scotland, as in the football team, are playing, you know, then suddenly everyone, like, I walk out, I live near a stadium, so, like, all of a sudden everyone's in a kilt outside and I feel like I'm in a massive stereotype.
Yeah. Heck with that.
We were talking about social justice, though. I had a wee sort of look on the dark social justice-y parts of the internet, and there's actually a load of stuff about social justice in the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Interesting.
Which I did not realise, because, like, you know, I was brought up Catholic, and it never came up, although I was brought up in a generation where we didn't have to learn catechism. I remember my mum saying that, like, when she was young, you had to learn catechism in school, and when you got bits wrong, they would hit you with, like, a belt, which doesn't really sound like something Jesus would do.
I mean, he might flip your desk over and yell at you, but I don't think he would hit you.
He might, like, throw you out, but, yeah, maybe not that.
So what does it really mean as to be part of the catechism and social justice? I mean, what are they teaching?
Well, I'll read a bit of it. It's like, social justice can be obtained only in respecting the transcendent dignity of humanity. The person represents the ultimate end of society to whom it is ordered. You know, it just sounds a bit vague. What is at stake is the dignity of the human person. I mean, I understand what they're saying, like, you know, let's not treat people badly and stuff, but I don't know. This is not kind of problem with some things, because, like, not that I'm, like, some kind of, you know, religious purist or anything like that, but see, when you sometimes look at, like, an original teaching of some religion and then you look at the development over the years and all this stuff that gets added on to it, that wasn't there in the beginning.
Yeah, basically, yeah. All of it. Well, you know, at some point you got to expand your market, right? And there's people, they always come around, and, you know, we see this everywhere. Like, hey, we need a bigger tent. You know, membership's down. What are we going to do? Well, how can we get those people in here? We're like, well, how are we going to get those guys to come to our thing and give us money? And they start changing the rhetoric. So it's like, hey, that eye for an eye thing's not selling so well. You know, like, vengeance and, you know, and that was a big seller back in the day. But now they're talking peace and love and stuff. And they're like, all right, well, let's give them some kind of Jesus-y character that loves everybody. And, like, okay. And that sold big. So they adapt with the changing marketplace like anybody else.
Mm. I know what you mean. It's weird as well. Like, I mean, I have a great interest in, like, Buddhism, and it's like, for the funny thing is, for years, like, you know, Buddhist tradition was handed down orally, you know, wasn't written down, and then obviously it got written down and developed and stuff. But it's, I mean, Buddhism's a sort of different thing in that way. But, like, you do get a lot of texts where, as far as I understand it, a lot of people would write something, but maybe a spiritual text like that, but it would be, in certain cultures, it was considered, like, it wasn't considered right to put your own name on it. It would be considered more right to attribute it to someone who, sort of, if you want to put it, divinely inspired you. So then sometimes you have these sort of issues of who actually wrote it. But I suppose the difference is, like, in terms of Buddhism, I've read the Bible, you know, like, believe me, the amount of Catholics I know that haven't read the Bible, but I don't consider myself a Catholic anymore. But, like, I've read the Bible, and, I mean, I don't take it literally. Personally, I don't take it literally. And I think I think people that take things, I mean, like, see, if you take the Bible literally, then the story about Jesus dying and being resurrected, it has to be true. It has to be. But if you take, if you're more into Buddhism, the story about Buddha doesn't have to be literally true. All that matters is the symbolic, you know, basically the teaching of it is all that matters, you know, like the things of, you know, well, all the stuff about, you know, life, suffering and control the mind and things like that. And that's sort of the difference, because if you take it literally and it's not literally true, then you're in trouble.
Well, it seems like it's going to have a lot more longevity if it's not based on stories that are obviously made up. You know, if the whole thing's not riding on that, you know, like, you know, talking snakes and burning bushes and virgin births. And, you know, it's like at some point a lot of people bail out because they're like, I don't know, that talking snake thing, really? Really? Nah.
You don't have talking snakes in America? I've got loads of nothing but talking snakes here. Can't go out my door without one of them.
I thought St. Patrick chased them all out. No, I don't know. That was Ireland.
Right?
They all, you know, the part of the story they don't tell you is that all the snakes went to Scotland.
They all got a boat here, and they're everywhere. I can't walk down the street without some snake asking me for spare change. It's ridiculous. All these degenerate snakes everywhere.
Right. See.
But that's the thing. I mean, like I said, I have read the Bible, and like taking it symbolically, it's quite an interesting book, you know, for my opinion. I find it quite fascinating, actually. But see the amount of people I know who are like, who claim to be Catholic and they've never picked up the Bible. You know, you say, so have you read the Bible? They're like, nah, I don't read the Bible. And you're like, well, you would think you would read the core text of your religion, as you know, you, I would find that to be important.
Well,
but like,
do the higher ups encourage people to read it for themselves, or is it sort of the, you know, because back in the day they didn't even want people to be able to read. They wanted the priest to bring the word of God. Like, we don't worry, we'll let you know what's in there. You know, don't trouble your little brain with reading it yourself. I know what's in there. And it says right here, pay me. Yeah, pay me. And if your uncle was a sinner and he died, pay me more and I'll send him to heaven. Where does it say that? Does it really say that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it says that.
Trust me.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Here again, I'm back from the break, Dan Green, James Babb on the Freedom Fiends, and I don't know, in this hour, all stuff we didn't really intend to talk about, to be honest. We just sort of, sometimes we just take something and run with it, but that's why you listen, and that's why we do it.
Yeah, you know, it's not like we didn't plan, we just didn't stick to the plan, that's all. We took the time to think about something to talk about, we just didn't talk about that. So
yeah, I mean, what do people expect from us, you know?
They expect some type of, you know, effort to be put into a professional radio show, and you know, I think we deliver usually, sometimes. Maybe once. So
I know we have in the past.
Yeah. And, you know, Michael Dean, you know, he's not here. He's probably listening right now, you know, as the central scrutinizer. But, you know, we can get away with certain things since he's not here. So
he's away solving a liberty-based emergency, I assume.
he's in his safe space, probably. Yeah.
Somebody can't hear us and go, "Oh, why did I put them on the show?" Somewhere where he can't hear LRN.
So, anyway, so you know, we were talking about Halloween a little bit. Now, is Halloween celebrated in Scotland?
Oh yeah, oh aye. It's actually, funnily enough, like when I was younger, I never really saw a lot of people with a lot of like Halloween decorations as such.
Fiend phone.
That always seemed like
Fiend
more
phone.
Of a.
I think we've summoned. We've summoned Michael.
I need a cookie and a map.
Yeah. That was the funniest stuff I've ever heard, man. You know, you hear about this social justice stuff, and you see examples of it. And like half of them, I think, are jokes. Like I think, like I read this one the other day. There's some college now where they decided that it's not politically correct to use the term politically correct. Like you're not allowed to use that at some university anymore. And I thought it was a joke, but it's not. And when I heard you guys talking about the safe space with the coloring books, like, come on, man.
You can't make it up.
You know, I just want to go put on my tactical kilt and hide in the corner when I hear stuff like that. Dobby Barker got married in a kilt.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
But he thought he was Scottish, but then found out he was Irish, I think. Isn't that it? Or was that Dan? I forget. Maybe it's both of you.
I knew that my family were Irish. I was aware of that. I think Davy said something about that to you before, actually. It kind of sounds familiar now that you mention it.
So if you guys want something to do, how about arguing by proxy with somebody? I was on Facebook and some social justice warrior started telling me how, well, he was yelling at our meme, this meme I think Lou made of Bernie Sanders. It's Bernie Sanders says, "I am a democratic socialist because our ideas are bold and fresh and new." And the other panel says, "Because soup kitchens, unemployment, and forcing people into compliance is a new idea." And a couple people who are friends of mine jumped on and started defending it and saying, so here's his thesis, and I would like you guys to take the last 1 minute to defend why he's wrong. And, you know, this is like, I could just sit and argue with one guy on Facebook, or I could just do it in one direction to thousands of people, which is more fun. So he said, "So should the poor starve? Should the old die freezing? Because those are the kinds of things that have led to the creation of Social Security. If generous people or charities or corporations would lend a helping hand, government wouldn't have to tax to pay for it. It is filling a void, right or wrong, which again leads to the morals of the country."
I'm sorry. I'm retreating to my safe place because that is way too triggering. I'm having flashbacks. Yeah. Where do you even begin with someone like that? We'll have to take. Let's do the whole second hour on that.
Okay. Send you guys the link. One of us could be him.
Yeah, that's good. We're going to have to take a can opener to that thing and just pry it open and dump it out.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
It's true. It's true. Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the Artificial Satellite Lib Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Is Mr. Okay. Bab back? You back?
I'm here.
Okay. So we're going to talk about this cat. We're going to continue an argument I was having on Facebook. I don't even know if it was an argument, but we're going to give the guys last first name only. His name's Kyle. So this is what I do when people are arguing with me about, but who would build the roads on Facebook? I'm like, well, I could sit here and argue with one person, or I could just read their comments to thousands of people on a whole bunch of radio stations. And I actually invited this guy to come listen, but he didn't want to because the link I sent him was a Fox News affiliate. He's like, I don't listen to Fox News, just like you wouldn't listen to Rachel Maddow. Like, he thinks we're right-wing or something because we're on Fox News. Glenn Beck is a Nazi. All right, that's...
Well, listen, it's fair. You got to... You know, he might really have Nazi. That... He's might wrong. Feel bombarded by a lot of viewpoints that really go against his dearly and closely held beliefs, right?
Yeah.
So I could see why he wouldn't want to tune in.
Well, he also said, like, you wouldn't want to listen to Rachel Maddow. And I was like, if they were going to talk about me on Rachel Maddow, I'd tune in. All right, so.
That would be a stretch, though.
That would. Although there's actually a GCN host that sued Rachel Maddow unsuccessfully, but we can't really go into that. I've signed contracts not to discuss it.
Okay. Oops.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No, I didn't discuss it. I didn't name any names. I just stated fact. Okay, so who wants to start? I'll start again with what the thread was about. And again, this is a new segment we haven't quite named yet, called, like, taking our beefs to the airwaves or something. You know, instead of, why do I want to argue with one person on the internet when I can just read Kyle's comments on, you know, a bunch of radio stations and have 10 or 20,000 people going, boy, this Kyle sure sounds like a tool. That's... I win when I do that. But I'm not even trying to win against him. I'm trying to win in favor of our ideas, which are better. So my friend Lou, our co-host Lou, made this meme. I think he made it. He posted it. It's Bernie Sanders. It says, I'm a democratic socialist. Our ideas are bold and fresh and new. And then it's got a picture from the 30s of a soup kitchen during the Depression. And it says, because soup kitchens, unemployment, and forcing people into compliance is a new idea. So, and then, you know, a few other people post things like, soup kitchens have been replaced with SNAP cards, but the principle is the same. What's that? Is that a welfare credit card or something? SNAP card?
Yeah, it's like I guess it's like a debit card.
See, back when I was on food stamps, back when I was a drug addict in the early 90s for 7 months or something, I was on food stamps in San Francisco. You used to be able to sell your food stamps to, well, you'd go into the Tenderloin, which is a really bad section of San Francisco, and there'd be these scary black dudes who'd stand in front of these Chinese groceries, and they'd say, money from Mama-san, money from Mama-san. And that was, he was like the pimp for the food stamps. So you'd take the food stamps to him, you'd give him $100 worth of food stamps, and he'd hand you like $70 cash. And he would be exchanging them in the Chinese run grocery, you know. So that's how the scam worked. But I don't know if you can do that with SNAP cards. I think they've...
I'm sure there's a way to do it, right?
Yeah. Find the hole. Yeah.
The market will work, or, you know, it routes around whatever they put in place to prevent it from happening. But
yeah. Yeah. You can always turn food stamps into drug stamps. I did. Okay. So that's how conservative I am.
You know, and I don't even, you know, some people might say, oh, you know, like Kyle's probably expecting us to be like all anti-food stamp or anti, you know, like, I mean, as far as the welfare programs that like the federal government or the state's government, this is like a 0.1% of all the other garbage that's collecting welfare, like Raytheon and Halliburton and Lockheed Martin.
If you get rid of the military industrial complex and the war on drugs, I would celebrate giving people $300 a month to smoke pot in front of their flat screen TVs and not work.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Really,
they're doing far less harm than a cop or a soldier, you know?
Right. And, you know, I would even tell a libertarian, like, hey, you qualify for food stamps? Go get it. Who cares? You know, like,
that's a contentious one. But Ben Stone's daughter, Kai, has the same. She said the same thing on Ben Stone's show before.
The danger is to the person receiving it. I have no problem with you taking it because it's just, you know, it doesn't belong to them anyway. You're just homesteading it, you know. But, you know, you don't want to be dependent upon the state, right?
That reminds me of the 13th step. You know, in a 12-step program, you know what the 13th step is, right?
No.
It's an old-timer with a lot of recovery sleeping with a newcomer who's very vulnerable. And then there's the 14th step, which is in Los Angeles, getting your real estate license or writing your screenplay. These are just kind of inside jokes, but you had to be there. But the 13th step is a universal thing of it's, you know, messing around with the newcomer. And what my sponsor explained to me when I had a little time, when I had about a year and was dating some woman who was about a week off of being a hooker, you know, you go down to the Tenderloin, you pick a hooker out, you say, I'm going to clean her up and make a wife out of her. It doesn't work. See, the thing is, it doesn't harm her. It harms you, you know, because she steals your guitar and sells it for drugs. And, you know, you spend all this money and time on her and you help her stay clean for a while. It's kind of like that. The food stamps hurt the recipient. They don't hurt you. Go for it. Yeah, I say go for it, man. I'm sitting here on Fox News telling people to get on food stamps. There you go.
I don't give legal advice. I would never tell someone to go out and break the law, but abuse it. Go ahead if you can. I used to have a friend like who played in my band, and he told me he was collecting food stamps in like four different states at one time. Okay, like I'm not going to judge.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if they're stealing all this money from you in taxes anyway, you know, technically you've paid for it.
Yeah, I'd rather see it. Yeah, go to deadbeat drug addicts than go to another Lockheed Martin contract. You know, if it comes down to that. But you know, let's get back to what Kyle was talking about, because Kyle said something like, "So the poor should starve." The old die freezing because it's those kinds of regular things that led to the creation of Social Security. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is the presumption, right? If it wasn't for Social Security, like old people would be like just dying. They'd be like just dropping dead everywhere and no one would ever take care of them. As if like...
as if they're not anyway.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I guess you have to look at it as like, first of all, you know, they call it Social Security. There's no security. Like, what are the odds of the money still being there in this Ponzi scheme? Like when we need it, you know, or when my kids need it, what are their chances of getting it? It's not. I wouldn't Zero. Would not call that secure. In fact, it creates insecurity by having this. People don't make choices for themselves. They're like, oh, that's okay. The government's got that figured out. I don't have to plan for my retirement.
Yeah.
Makes people insecure. It's not very social either, is it? I mean, you know, gun to the head. Is that a social interaction? No.
You know, speaking of gun to the head, I know we're speaking figuratively of, you know, if you don't pay your taxes, they will come and arrest you. And if you resist, they'll put a gun
to your head. It can become literally, you know.
But I have another literal thing that's very rarely talked about with the elderly in America and with the sick is the statistics for gun deaths in America when you take away, you know, inner city Utes shooting each other, which is, you know, I'm not, some people say it's racist to put it that way. I say it's, you know, cultural and financial and crime driven and lack of education, you know, how bad the government schools are. But it's mostly black kids shooting black kids. That's most of the gun deaths in America. And a large percentage of the ones that are not that are old or sick people killing themselves. Like they lump the suicide statistics in with gun deaths. And really what that comes down to is proof that the government does a horrible job of taking care of people. You know, there's a lot of suicides, and also the fact that there is no right to die, which is horrible. You know, you should be able to get suicide meds in the Walmart or from your doctor. You know, if you have any,
from a vending machine at an elementary school.
Yeah. Yep. So there.
Do you know Social Security is racist?
You know, have you ever, let me extrapolate on that one for a minute more. If you've ever known anybody that has cancer, some cancers are far worse than others. I mean, I've had relatives that had cancer where they were just miserable with no quality of life for 4 or 5 years. And, they were on morphine. One of them was on medical pot. And, none of it really took the edge off, to the point where, they were only still alive because they thought they were supposed to be, and because their family thought they were supposed to be, and because their church thought they were supposed to be, and because everyone goes, you're fighting such a brave fight. But it's like, when every moment of every day is excruciating pain, you should be able to jump out of that window, man. You should be able to jump off that bus.
Who could deny that? Right.
And the thing is, governments kill people all day long. You know, they incarcerate people, cops choke people. People die in custody. And then, on the other hand, they won't let you die when you really want to die. You know, they just have such control over your life. And no matter what, here's what it comes down to. No matter what good things a government does, any government in any nation throughout history, at any level, local, state, prefecture, country, United Nations, whatever they do, it's always worse. The bad they do always far outweighs the good they do every time, because that's the nature of government.
Oh, by a thousandfold, at least.
Yeah.
You know, any good they do is just the bare minimum to get it to create the illusion of some kind of legitimacy, or some kind of it's like the national parks. The federal budget's $20 trillion. Spend a couple million on national parks, and everyone loves to pay taxes, you know? They're like, you go to a national park, and people swoon with pride at their love of the government and the park rangers. Like, come on, guys. It's just some goons put up a toll booth in front of your mountain, and you want to celebrate them.
And here on the Freedom Fiends, we do it voluntarily. I need to raise $80 in the next couple days for some fiends expenses. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin at the bottom of any post and help me out so I don't go into debt.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
It's the Freedom Fiends talking about a kindler, gentler world where Bernie Sanders comes over to your house and has you turn your head and cough and assesses your health economically.
And make sure that you have one of the 4 approved varieties of deodorant that he's authorized.
4? No, 1.
Too much choice.
1. The free market is... Yeah, what is that? What is that? The free? He said the free market hurts people. That's weird. That's weird, man. Without the free market, no one would know who he is. Because, he really, like, morally has nothing in common with Ron Paul, but socially he kind of does. He's like the old weird white dude that all the college students like. And that can't happen without capitalism, because that is spread entirely on the little chromed robot turds everyone has in their pocket and the internet. And you know, people love to say, the government invented the internet, which is not entirely true, but the internet, as the government helped develop it, nobody would be able to use it, man. It was,
of course,
it was based on giant mainframe computers, and you know,
right.
Required.
It didn't become even vaguely interesting until some free marketeers got a hold of it.
Yeah, and you know what made it?
And by that I mean the porn industry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that drives every new technology. What really made it interesting to most people? I got on the internet in like before the web, like 1992, on something called Gopher. Which was kind of hard to use, and it was text only. But then I got on it at work at the steak restaurant where I was a busboy and a dishwasher. It was probably the first web cafe. It was in like late 94, 90, early 95. There's this commercial space in San Francisco at Folsom and 9th that like it's on the corner. Every business there fails. Like for decades, like everybody has 6 months there and then they're out of business. And I think this was the first web cafe but it was like a nice restaurant with steak dinners and keyboards at each table. But instead of having the monitor at each table, the monitors were up on the wall on flat screen TVs projected. So everybody could see what you were surfing. That's probably why they went out of business. You know, back then, like to have a web page, you had to learn HTML. The web was not interactive. What really made it interesting to most people was the ability to talk back to the internet. And that didn't happen until like the late 90s, you know, like on a big scale to where people could comment. I mean, even the idea of commenting on a web page or like having a social network page without doing HTML, like that didn't exist.
Hadn't even been thought of.
Like, 99. Yeah. And it was weird because like everyone, all these .coms were failing at like 95, 96, 97, because they were like, we have a great idea to tell you how to use the internet. And that wasn't it. People just wanted to talk back. People just wanted to yell at each other. And, you know, I wanted to be on radio. So I spent my time working toward being on radio. So now when people yell at me on the internet, I just say, hey, Kyle, I'm going to go talk about you on Fox News and, you know, 20 other stations. So there.
Nice. Speaking of Kyle, Social Security.
Yeah.
Do you know who the father of Social Security is? I'm looking at his picture. I'm on SSA.gov, and I'm looking at a picture from the Social Security Administration History Archives, a picture of Otto von Bismarck. You may know him as the Iron Chancellor. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of bizarre. I'm looking at, I've never looked at SSA.gov, and I would have thought you were lying unless you gave a source here. Not lying. I would have thought you were misinformed. There's a lot of, there are more young people in the pictures than there are old people on SSA. It's the same thing with the Obamacare stuff. Like, I love Obamacare because I'm 51 and sick, and I love that all these youngsters are paying for my health care now. Thanks, suckers. You got suckered in, and the Social Security Administration is doing the same thing. Like, they have this hip 19-year-old girl, like, looking wistful, like, ooh, what, like, how much will I get from Social Security? None. All states will have collapsed by the time she's 65, man.
Well,
and they'll just keep making it older.
Right, that's like kind of the sad myth, is that the Social Security is a welfare program, and then it goes to people that need it. I think it's like, somebody could correct me, but I think it's like 97%, huge percentage of Social Security payments are it's not means tested.
Millionaires get it.
It's just
I know millionaires get it. I know millionaires.
Yeah, millionaires get it. Tons of people get it, right? So like the people that need to have this kind of like super safety net thing, fine. Go ahead and have it. But why are we forcing the other 97% to participate? I don't get it.
Because somebody's tapping it off in the middle. And because it creates addiction to the state.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, F-E-E-N-P-H-O-N-E.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiend Phone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Freedom Fiends. I guess we need to mention that Bernie Sanders is a liar, a socialist.
He's a liar. He's a socialist. And his feet stink. You thought that was dumb. What did you say?
It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just getting a little old. I don't know. There's so many old.
You weren't there. You weren't there for the origin of the origin story of that. You know where that came from, right?
That was your father,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then my dad came out to visit me. He was 89 at the time, or 90. He's 94 as of this month, and he was here in my house. And Nima was Nima here? I think Nima was in Texas, and we did it over Skype or something. But we interviewed my dad about his small government pro-constitution beliefs after I went out shooting with him at the shooting range. I gotta say, he did amazing at the shooting range for someone that doesn't go often and didn't have a lot of, you know, never really had any training and had never used a rifle with optics. I mean, at like 25 yards, he shot like 50 shots within 3 inches of a 1-inch target and probably half of them in the 1-inch target. I was blown away, and it was like it was snowing and freezing out, and he's old. So, you know, the old in my America, the old do not die freezing. They come shooting with me and then come home and have hot cocoa and then go on the radio. So that's what we did. And at one point I just asked him, "So what do you think of Barack Obama?" And he said, he looked real thoughtful, and he said, "Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink," which is kind of like, my dad doesn't cuss, so that was kind of like his version of cussing, which has made it really cute. And then Nima took that sample and made a hip-hop song out of it that really kind of kicks butt. And that's where it came from. So I like to say
there's
that
a history
once an
there.
Hour. I like to I say it that. Once an hour when yeah. we don't talk about politics, when we're talking about tactical kilts for an hour. I like to say Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. So people listening on conservative radio who happen to tune in they'll know that we agree with them on something. You know, I mean, we think heroin should be available in vending machines in grade schools as long as the vending machines are privately owned and operated. We don't take the normal conservative line, and we're not conservatives, but they have us on these stations for some reason, I think because the kids like it. So what were you going to say about old people in Scotland, James? Did we cover that yet?
Well, I wanted to find out from Dan, you know, because Dan's in Scotland, and they don't have the benefit of the United States Social Security Administration. So, Dan, I'm just assuming that old people are, like, exploding in the streets there or just dying from cat food poisoning, or what's going on over there?
No, see, James, you forget that there's a glorious National Health Service here.
So it makes the Social Security Administration look like the Mises Institute.
Now, that's right, the Queen. Does the Queen, like, personally dispense little
pills,
little brain food pills. Baskets to the little urchins in the street and the
man?
You're obsessed with the Queen, James.
They're telling me I'm not loud enough. Okay. I hope I'm loud enough now. Yep.
Although people do hear, they complain about stuff like, you know, they complain about the same things like, oh, we need to help the poor and we need more money for hospitals and all this kind of thing. They're going to renew the Trident nuclear deterrent, as they call it, and apparently it's going to cost about £167 billion. That's about $256 billion.
Wow.
Oh, that's nothing.
Dude, the Pentagon missiles that we're not going to use.
Listen, the Pentagon blows that on a bar tab, okay?
Like, on hookers and blow.
Yeah, that's a couple $100 billion. That, like, they can lose that, and it's and nobody even cares.
They did lose that.
No, they lost they lost trillions of dollars, and nobody cares.
No, I mean literally lost it. Wasn't there a cargo plane that the Army took to the Middle East to rebuild Iraq, and like literally billions in cash just disappeared. Do you remember that?
Sounds legit.
I'm not talking about like some kind of accounting error or some, you know, $700 screwdrivers. I'm talking about, you know, like a flying boat full of $100 bills just disappeared on the way to Iraq.
I think that's fantastic.
Halliburton, you know, something. I don't know.
Good. Right? I'm sure wherever it was supposed, I mean, I'm sure, it, you know, I can't really say good because it probably went to the people they had intended it to go to. It just couldn't be advertised or they had to somehow explain it away why it was going to.
It probably went to Saddam Hussein.
Or Al-Qaeda.
You know, to form ISIS so they could keep the wars going.
You know, it was a payment so they could buy another like 500 Toyota pickup trucks.
Man, Toyota should be proud of that. It's like Toyota small pickup trucks. You know, the arm your jihad today. They should.
Every rebel force has those Toyota trucks, right?
I noticed
like
that before.
Africa.
Yeah.
Like, they'll put machine guns on the back. They'll carry like 20 troops.
And it's been forever. If you look at Black Hawk Down, that movie, that movie's full of those Toyotas with the 50 cals and the 20 guys waving Russian, you know, rifles and grenade launchers.
It must be. I think it's just a really reliable platform. You know, it's easy to work on, modify, plenty of parts.
But it's there was actually an article recently about how it came to happen. And it's like the Department of Defense bought every one of those.
Well, that recent thing with ISIS getting all those trucks, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Now, the conservatives must have been outraged, right? Like, if our federal government is spending this hard-earned tax money to give trucks to terrorists, shouldn't they buy American? Like, I mean, come on. Aren't like Chrysler products good enough for ISIS?
They just blame Obama, and they think that Trump will fix it.
Yeah, Trump will send them American trucks.
Bernie Sanders will fix it because there'll only be one kind of truck. It'll be like a modern Volkswagen Ford
microbus.
You want it in black? Yeah, they'll just cut the top off the VW hippie love bugs to mount their 50 cals. Yeah,
so sad.
So sad. It's such a zany world to live in. Like, I can't believe these things. You know, ever.
Just when you think you're like, yeah, you can't be surprised. It's like, yep, it gets even weirder.
I remember the first term of Obama when I was still kind of like, you know, almost ANCAP, but clinging to this like, well, it's the real world. I have to be a little bit of a minarchist and care what happens with government. And part of what made me give that up was like the first 100 days of Obama. I was keeping a list of like his transgressions against me, you know, his administration's transgressions against the American people. And I really did rack up like in the first 100 days, like a longer list than I thought, you know, the previous 20 presidents had. But at some point I just quit caring and just went, yeah, you know, it doesn't really matter. And that's the moment of clarity. You know, alcoholics, to quote Pulp Fiction, alcoholics call that a moment of clarity. And, you know, once you have it and you just give up on it, you know, you take your gun and you stick it in your short pants and you walk out of the diner, you know, and leave Honey Bunny and Ringo in there and you don't care. It doesn't matter anymore.
Right. The details of each particular scandal don't mean anything anymore because the bigger picture is revealed and the pattern is laid bare.
When did you guys last have that, like, they're doing things to us? When did you give up? I know James is, I know you've both given that up, right? Completely.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I guess it's hard to say when, but I, you know, maybe like over a decade ago, I might like go with friends. We're going to go to the Capitol and we're going to tell them, you know, like, no.
Honestly, your Fiji outreach stuff, and I love that new video of you. I'm going to have that go in the show notes tonight. I almost feel like it's the only, I'm sure Ian Freeman would yell at me for this, but I almost feel like it's the only activism of directly interfacing with the government, other than filming cops, that's worth doing. You know, I really feel like there's nothing else. It's explain what FIJA is for people that don't know. It's you do it all the time.
Fully Informed Jury Association. And yeah, volunteers go to, you know, go somewhere, maybe like a courthouse, and pass out pamphlets. And the pamphlets say, hey, if you get jury duty, these are your rights. And it's the kind of stuff the judge isn't going to tell you. Like, hey, you can have a conscience. You can vote not guilty if you think the law is bogus. And, of course, now all the laws are bogus just about. So it really comes in handy. And, you know, the war on drugs is you know, I think it's, you know, especially with pot, at least, right? I think that the tide has turned. Pot's going to be legal nationwide, right, within a few more years. But these guys are clinging to it so hard, you know, like this, yeah. You know, and this is a great time for the jurors to say, well, you know what? I'm one of the 70% of people that think that weed should be legal. And you can take an action. It's true. I mean,
that's like what's wrong with government. I mean, it's not even a democracy of any kind. Or if it is, it's one that works at like glacial rates, because it is something like 70% of people who think pot should be legal. And there's still people getting thrown in prison for it. Like 30 miles away from places where you can go into a store and buy it.
Right. It's this weird transition, you know, and, you know, the politicians are going from, well, gee, we made a lot of money putting people in jail for pot, but hey, maybe we can make even more money by just taxing potheads. So, yep. So they're going to get their cut either way. But yeah, you know, nobody wants to interface with the government. Ugh. They're creepy.
So square. Yeah. But I'm so disappointed, you know, when like musicians back some politician. It completely like undoes every note they've ever sung to me.
Yeah. Especially when they're so like it's even like it's funny when they're like cutting edge jazz musicians or musicians or, you know, or like hardcore, you know, like metal guys, like, you know, or like people that are being like so.
Henry Rollins is an incredibly smart person, except when he talks, when he praises government. It's really despicable. It's sad.
Well, you know, you really shouldn't be studying philosophy from entertainers, you know, like it doesn't work that great, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, it's like trying to like learn the clarinet by reading Karl Marx. That's not going to work either. You know? Maybe it would work. I don't know.
Try to learn philosophy from reading Karl Marx. That don't work either.
Or economics, for that matter.
Yeah. So Dan, we're going to break. We're going to come back and do the redemption in the third act. You got any comments? Praises. Condemnations.
All of the above.
Yes. How was it on the first hour? Because I was waking up.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah.
That's all I'm eating. We are back, apparently. Redemption in the third act, I believe. So,
give me some good news, Dan.
I don't have good news.
So Kyle packed it in. He's too drunk. You know, it's pretty rare that someone's arguing core beliefs with you on the internet, and you know, 30 or 40 posts into it says, "I'm tapped out. I'm drunk. Have a good night, guys." That's
that's like fair. No, that's fair.
It doesn't happen much.
No, you can always come back tomorrow when you sober up. You know,
I'm not going to pick this up tomorrow when I sober up. Unless we do it on the 2 hours on the Fiends tomorrow night.
Hey, let's. We'll do it all week.
Kyle.
It's going to be marathon until you come back, Kyle. You know, one thing I do like to mention before we wrap up on Social Security, and when I'm talking to liberals about it, this freaks them out when you let them know how racist Social Security is. Okay.
Everything the governments do is racist. Marriage licenses.
Exactly. But it's a very particular way.
Gun laws.
This in particular is a wealth transfer program from black people to white people. Okay. Because of the difference in life expectancy. A black man, it has a shorter life expectancy than a white man. Okay, so just on average, a white man is going to be collecting a lot more benefits. And as of, I don't know if it's still true, but maybe this was 5 years ago or so, I looked into it. A black man on average would only collect, he would pay into this Ponzi scheme his whole life and then maybe collect benefits for 1 year. Okay.
Wow.
It's just horrible. A horrible racist wealth transfer from white people from black people to white people because they're going to get the benefits longer. If the same person took that money that was confiscated for Social Security and invested in a conservative mix of stocks and bonds, they would die a millionaire with something to pass on to their children. Instead, they die broke with nothing. So that's what Social Security does. Makes people broke.
Or if they'd put it into Bitcoin from the beginning, they'd be billionaires.
They'd have something at least, right? Yeah. You know, but so this whole concept of, oh, Social Security, you know, it's there to take care of people that need it. Bull. It's there to feast off the people that are most vulnerable in our society and transfer that wealth to other people. It's horrible. So if you're a liberal and you want to feel good about a government program, that's not the one. No.
Go get him, Jim.
Sorry, Kyle. Yeah. Hate to burst your bubble, you know, but the Iron Chancellor was wrong. Bernie and the Iron Chancellor. Their feet stink.
I think they went to grade school together, didn't they?
In the mid 1800s, sure.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Bernie Sanders is the Mr. Burns of politics, man. Isn't he like 5 years older than Ron Paul? Ron Paul is old, man.
I don't know.
To be running for office.
Hillary Clinton's old.
Yeah,
you know? They're all old. Who cares how old they are?
I'm amazed how many young people want the like worship these old people. Don't you know old people are square? Don't you know don't trust anyone over 2 years older than whatever I am.
Yeah, but you know what? Some of them got it. You know, Ron Paul. How did Ron Paul do it? You know, this.
He got it young, man. I've seen videos of him where he does not have gray hair, where he's talking libertarian stuff. Did you ever see that video of him? It's on YouTube of him on the Morton Downey Jr. show screaming at a bunch of statists.
I think I did see that.
Morton Downey was like this. I don't know if you could call him conservative. He probably voted Democrat, but he was extremely in favor of the war on drugs. He was one of those tough New Yorkers who was like, we got to clean up these streets. You know, a guy who probably like rubbed his nipples while watching Taxi Driver kind of thing. He had one of those like, remember those people that like used to patrol the subways wearing paramilitary hats? He had those people debating Ron Paul. And then later those people like were found guilt, found to have like faked crimes and then rescued people from the fake crimes for press. Do you remember that? The Guardian Angels.
Oh, I've never heard of that. That sounds very believable. Now they call them NYPD.
Yeah, no, this was like the Hitler Youth of the NYPD. Google Guardian Angels New York City. Wow. There's a Wikipedia page about them. All right, it's been a good show, guys. Thank you.
Good times.
Good times. What do you think, Dan?
I don't think. I just am.
There you go.